It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. A gathering of the clans is taking place this weekend at the Ligonier Highland Festival, from bagpipes to kilts. And don't forget the haggis. We're getting a preview of this weekend's festival from Richard Wunderly. He's executive director of the Ligonier Highland Games. Richard Wunderly, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you for having me.
56 years, as I understand it, is how long the Ligonier Highland Games have been held in Idlewild Park. And so clearly this is something, a festival that is popular with people. How do you explain the allure of all things Scottish for people in Western Pennsylvania?
Well, it has a lot to do, I think, with the Scottish heritage of so many people in the area. But it's, I think, also that the Scottish are very inclusive. They include everybody because they've been scattered all over the world after having been, you know, victims of the Highland Clearances in the 1700s. So they've settled in many places, and the Scots come in every color of the rainbow, every shape and size, and we're very inclusive. And of course, we have the very significant and distinctive the bagpipe. I mean, that's something that really sticks out. You think of Scotland, you think of the bagpipe, and our foods, and just the warm and friendliness, the friendliness of the Scottish people too.
They are indeed warm and friendly, and proof of that is John Kelman, who was just here. Before we go any further, let's talk about haggis. For those who did not see So I Married an Axe Murderer, starring Mike Myers, what exactly is haggis, and why would anybody want to eat it?
It's simply a sausage. It's a sheep stomach stuffed with oatmeal and meat and spices, and it's really not that bad. It's nowhere near as bad as, say, scrapple or head cheese from Pennsylvania Dutch cooking.
So, in other words, if you're looking for a low-cholesterol snack, haggis is as good as any.
Pretty much, yeah.
As far as what is in store this weekend, there will be traditional Scottish things and then maybe some things that are not so traditional. What is in store?
Oh, today we have coming up, of course, the bagpipe bands. We'll have 18 pipe bands competing, which is the largest collection of pipe bands you're going to see in any area for a long ways from here. And we have the heavy athletes as well. You know, the guys doing the caber toss, you know, throwing the telephone pole.
I don't think we should assume that people necessarily know what that is. Explain how that works.
Well, the caber toss is the heavy athletes have to throw it's a wooden tree trunk, basically. It's a minimum of 120 pounds, so there's no maximum weight, but it has to be a certain minimum weight and length. And they have to pick it up and carry it, and they run through the field, and they have to throw it and flip it end for end. And not only do they have to flip it end for end, but then you're scored on how it falls. It falls directly straight out from you at 12 o'clock, like a clock face. You get the highest score. And if it goes left or right, you're deducted points on how far away from vertical it goes. So it's an extremely difficult thing to do.
Yes, I would say that qualifies as a heavy athletic event, the aforementioned heavy athletic event. And there are other things as well. It describes some of the other things, such as the Scottish hammer throw and the sheaf tossing.
It's a sheaf tossing, not sheep tossing.
I think I said sheaf.
No, we're not actually throwing the sheep. It's to take place of when they used to throw sheaves of wheat or grain up into the top parts of the barn. And what it is, they actually have a pitchfork. They have to stick it into a weighted burlap sack, and they're scored for how high they can throw it vertically in the air. Again, not an easy thing to do. These are some big guys, and it's a pretty difficult thing to do. The hammer throw, again, it's like they're throwing a small sledgehammer, and it is a weighted iron weight with a wooden handle, just like throwing a hammer. And, of course, we also have other. They have the stone weight that they throw for distance, among other things. And they also have a bigger hammer that they throw as well, too. And they have a weight on a chain, too. So these are all very big, heavy weights that they're throwing around.
And these tests of strength that seem to be popular in Scottish culture, the origins of this goes back to what? Farming in rural areas, or what exactly has inspired this?
Well, it's part of that, as well as that it was a way to replace fighting between the various clans or tribes in the area. And by getting together to show off your feats of strength, it was helped to intimidate the other clans to avoid combat. So basically, it was a way to say, here's our guys, look how big and strong they are. Maybe you don't want to mess with us. And it was also a way after the rebellion in 1745 for the Scots to get together and to quietly keep their culture alive as the English tried to snuff it out.
So this was a deterrent to violence then that might actually be something folks would want to consider today.
Yeah, exactly. It would be very nice to see some of the world leaders get together and throw some weights around rather than have people getting shot at.
Get out there and throw some sheaves. Not sheep.
Yes.
Sheaves.
Not sheep. The sheaves.
Richard Wanderley is our guest. He's executive director of the Ligonier Highland Games that are taking place this weekend. And there would be no event in Western culture without some opportunity for people to shop. What are some of the fine goods that people can find?
Oh, we're going to have all sorts of stuff there, from foods and canned goods to clothing to musical instruments to pottery to dishes, silverware, jewelry, pretty much anything you can think of, it's going to be there. And, you know, it's all sort of Scottish and Celtic, but some of it's very, useful, just everyday stuff as well.
And when you talk about some of the contests, and of course people associate with Scottish culture, they associate piping and drumming competitions or dance, certainly. When you talk about this competition, the people that are participating in it, what are they doing to keep this alive and to train themselves for a competition involving, you know, scores of different participants?
Many of these people have practiced for many years, and you know, they have to learn a lot of the tunes that have been written down for some of them centuries old, and they learn and pass along to their families and friends. You know, dancing is often very much a family tradition, from dancers handing it down to their children who pass it on to their grandchildren. You know, these are things that help to spread the culture and language. And we have, you know, the Gaelic mod, these people who speak, you know, Gaelic, the old language, and they're keeping it alive and teaching other children and their friends and family. And if I believe correctly, I've heard that there are more people who speak Gaelic now than have been speaking Gaelic in the last 100 years because of activities like this.
Interesting. And, of course, this weekend or tomorrow, you have the referendum, which people will be talking about. The results apparently will not be available until Friday. So this goes right into the weekend of your event, which I'm guessing was not necessarily timed to coincide with the referendum. But there it is.
Yeah.
So how are you? Go ahead.
It's been a topic of debate among many of the people that are involved in the games, too. It's tough to say what would be the best choice. There's so many possible ways it could go.
Are you bracing for one particular mood, perhaps a celebratory mood, or one of relief or dread? I mean, there's all sorts of ways in which people might be feeling by this weekend.
Yeah, we're going to announce it either way, but we're just going to carry on to the Highland Games regardless of what the vote comes out as. We can't really change whatever the outcome is ourselves, and from what I've seen in the polls, it seems to be too close to call at the moment to really even guess.
How are you hoping it goes, Richard?
Honestly, we had the Lord Lion of Scotland out here in 2010, and I met him. He's a great gentleman, and it's such a long history of Scotland being part of England, and just for that part alone, I hope that they decide to stay united with England.
Richard Wanderley is executive director of the Ligonier Highland Games, taking place this weekend in Idlewild Park. And Ron, I don't know why I keep wanting to call you Ron, but Richard Wanderley, thank you so much for joining us here on Essential Pittsburgh. Have a great weekend, and we appreciate your taking time to be with us today.
Well, thank you very much.
And thank you for listening to Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Back again tomorrow with another edition of the program. So long for now.